Take your Bibles, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, talking about how to have a joyful church. So, John chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse number 30. The Bible says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Let's have a word of prayer. We'll just dive right in. Father, thank you so much for this morning, for the tremendous conference we've had. Thank you for the blessing to be a part. And Lord, just guide us and help us in the next couple moments. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I enjoy life. Our church is a good place. It's a happy place. And I truly believe that's what church ought to be. I think church ought to be a place where we want to come. It should be appealing to the people. I'm tired of the world kind of getting the corner on us on this one. I really do. I was mentioned it yesterday in one of the sessions I was in, but it bothers me when we're happier to go to vacation destinations than we are to come to church. I think church should just be an exciting place, a vibrant place, a place where the Spirit of God is soon. I don't know, really, I've had people tell me through the years, and I don't know because I'm not them, but they say, "Pastor, as soon as we stepped through the threshold of your church, we felt the Spirit of God." I don't know what they felt, amen. I really don't, but they felt something, and that's good. I want it to be a place that is alive, that is on fire for God. I just want that to be known. And I will say this: through the years, I've walked through a number of churches, and I mean no judgment on anyone, but there have been times, man, when I've walked in and there's just an unholy spirit, and there's an unhealthy spirit. All right, there's just something wrong, and you know it. You don't know what it is, you don't know where it's at, but you just feel it. You've never been in that church before, and again, I cast no judgment on anybody, but you know that's there. And that was something, when I moved back to our church, early 2000, I pastored the church I grew up in. I don't know why, but God allowed it. God was gracious and brought us back through that. Never expected to go home, but that is what God allowed. But I moved back in early 2000. Our church had gone through a very difficult time in the late 90s. Our pastor who founded the church in 1969 had left in 1996 to take a church out in Gillette, Wyoming. A good man, a faithful man. But we live in a small community, and his kids had gone wayward and really ruined his testimony within the community by and large. And it's just been difficult, and just being very transparent. I love my founding pastor. Pastor, great man, and God used him fantastically out in Gillette, Wyoming until the Lord took him home, and so he's just tremendous, but his testimony had been hurt the last several years that I was in high school. Things had begun to decline a bit just because of his children's testimony. They were older than I was, and so it had affected it there for a few years. After he resigned, a man came and took the pastorate, and a good man, but a jealous man. And just really had a problem with our people that were still there loving the founding pastor. And I don't understand all the particulars. I was in Bible college, and truly, I didn't pay any attention. Somewhat oblivious. My parents didn't talk about it much. They didn't pull me into it, which I'm very thankful for. I came home and just enjoyed being home when I was there. But the Lord allowed us. He resigned in 99. The assistant resigned, and the church saw fit to call me. And I worked as an assistant pastor and so on and so forth. But I moved back to a place that was really unhealthy. Just the spirit of the church was nasty. Nasty, unhealthy. All right. As soon as the church service was over, I really felt like 30 seconds after we'd done, everybody was gone. I mean, it was like just see who could get out of the parking lot first. And we still got a few of those folks, amen. But they got to get to they're going for lunch now and not to get out of the church. But that's what I came back to. And so I really determined I was going to, as God allowed me, and again, I just a dumb college kid moving back and just kind of trying to figure things out, but I really determined in my heart, this is not what I want. This is not what I want for my wife and I, and God gave us kids a few years after being there, and this is not what I want for my children. All right, I want this place to be something that we can have fun, and I mean that in the proper sense. We can have a good time when we're in the house of God. I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm not trying to be, this is a comedy club. I'm not trying to do that. Please don't misunderstand what I'm driving at. But I wanted to be a place where the Spirit of God was welcome. And so, boy, I was just determined to make that happen. And so my spirit, I needed it to be right. I really did. And pastors, I would say this, it's easy to get a wounded spirit, man. People, yeah, the ministry would be fantastic if it wasn't for the people, okay? I'm just saying, I don't know what else. People can be really just downright nasty. And so I knew my spirit had to be right. And so I really worked on that and stressed that. John chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "He must increase, but I must what?" All right, now I want you to look at verse 29 with me, all right? John is speaking, and he's speaking, really he's being asked about Jesus, all right? Jesus is stealing your crowds. He's taking your people. He's doing this. And I just want you to look at the last phrase of verse number 29. John says this, "This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. That is not what most of us would say, all right? Hey, John said, my job is to decrease, his job is to increase, and when it happens, my joy is fulfilled. I want to be a joyful person. I want to be a happy person. I want to enjoy the life that God has given me. I really believe my Christian life is the best life I could ever hope to live. I believe that. But here, I also want to be perceived as that. And I think sometimes, again, I'm a Midwesterner. I grew up in Marquette, Iowa. Midwestern people, we're hardy folk. We're not really flamboyant. We're just kind of down to earth. We just put our heads down and get our work done. And I get all that. I really am. And I'd never ask you to be anything that you're not. But you can smile, okay? You can enjoy where you're at. Because listen, all right, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. I have the joy, I claim to have the joy of the Lord. If you have the joy of the Lord, it should be evident. When Paul and Silas were sitting in prison, they praised God and sang. That's odd, that's different, that's peculiar, but that's who we're called to be. Just a couple thoughts here. Brother Wilkerson, how long do I have? Got about 2 minutes left? About three, all right, I'll do my best. Throw these out really quickly, all right? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11 says he magnifies his office. I magnify mine office. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 14, he says, speaking of the apostles, we are fools for Christ's sake. That's a divine contradiction. God has given me as a pastor a tremendous office. And yet, many times, I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Another divine contradiction, all right? The Bible says in Proverbs 17:28, it's my life verse, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Listen, I have been called to preach and herald the gospel. It doesn't always look wise when you're standing behind a pulpit preaching. Sometimes you look a little bit like a fool. And the Holy Spirit of God's got to get involved. But I would say this, fellas, we as pastors, we can't take ourselves in the flesh too seriously. I have a divine office that has been given to me by an almighty God, and I'm going to do everything I can to magnify that thing. But as long as the gospel goes forth, as long as the word and the work go forward, and it's for him, then I'm fine with decreasing. We all got fallacies, we all got failures. I remember Brother Hiles talking about telling people how you got mud on your feet, never show them. But guys, we're all human. We are all human. We all have frailties. I shared with some of you folks yesterday, I hate needles. I hate them with a holy passion. I remember as a young person, the nurse would come in and talk about diabetes, and she would draw blood, and that visual of the needle, I get lightheaded. I have a kidney disease that I've dealt with now for about 35 years. It's not a big deal. The Lord's been good. It's never developed anything more. But every year I have to go have blood drawn. I am the man that when they come in, now I live local town, little town, all right? I go in and the nurse, she says, Pastor, she says, we have the cot ready for you. You can lay down. What a man! Here I am. I'm this big loser walking in. I'm like, help. And here's the thing, guys. And you say, well, you just suck it up and deal with it. I've tried. I have gone over in multiple doctor's offices just like, boom, all right? There's not a thing in the world I can do about it. He's my brother-in-law now, but before he was my brother-in-law, he broke his neck diving into a pool. Had to go have surgery. He was a bigger guy, all right? Jesse's a bigger guy. And they had to get the IV in, you know? He's all braced up, but they got to get this IV in him before he can go into surgery, pre-surgery. I'm going in there. I'm the big pastor. I'm going to pray with him. I'm going to, you know, just assure him that everything's going to be all right. And I'm watching them stick him with this IV needle. And it's happening. Like, I got the sensation. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have no idea, and God bless you. I hate you all. But I can feel the blood. And when it happens, it happens. And people will say, you know, doctor, it's all in your head. I know. Like, what do you do with that? And so I'm sitting there. He got stuck 9 times. I made it through 5 of them. And he looked at me, and he's like, Pastor, you okay? And I'm like, Jesse, I'm okay. I'm just going to put my head between my legs and hyperventilate. I mean, that's horrible. I'm going in there to be a help and a comfort to him. And he's got the broken neck. And he's like, Pastor, are you okay? That's humiliating. But our folks love it. I go in now and they ask me to leave. You know, they're going to draw blood, Pastor. You might want to step out. I'm not trying to make light of my office in any way. But my person, I'm nobody special. I don't have anything to offer them that they can't get from God. I'm just another beggar telling other beggars where the bread's at. And God's allowed me to be in a place that has tremendous honor, and I'm thankful for that. And I got a big God. But I just a few thoughts, but really, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's when my joy is fulfilled.